Good morning,
dwarves on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Well, I'm getting my voice back a little bit, although I yelled myself hoarse, screaming at everybody out there to hear the Watchman conference on Saturday. Got off the plane last night. My ears wouldn't unplug. Oh, my goodness, what a feeling that is. Had about 4 hours sleep. I don't want to gross you out. Had a good nose blow this morning, kind of waking me up here a little bit. So, praise the Lord, we are here in a sad moment in the Dobbenmeyer house. Michelle and I get home from Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, Texas. My daughter's gone. My daughter and my granddaughter and my grandson and my son-in-law and their dog. They moved into their new house. So you've heard of stories when guys move away and their families move out. At least my wife's still with me. She didn't take off with them. But it's kind of quiet in the old Dobbenmeyer house this morning. And got a little jet lag, a little bit of, I'm just an unbelievable weekend at the Hear the Watchman conference. And I want to dive into that a little bit today. Got some new faces joining us here today. It's great to see some old faces joining us. And appreciate you guys hanging in there with us. Prayed a little bit before we went on. Let's just pray again. Lord, we just thank you for this day. This is the equinox. This is the equal night and day today, March 21st, first day of spring, Lord. Lord, help us spring forward, not just on that clock. Shake us and awaken us and push us out there, Lord. We might advance your kingdom in all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, man, I got a lot of directions to go and a lot of directions we're going to go. It's good to see all of you. I hope you all had a great weekend. As I said, we got back from a Hear the Watchman conference. I don't know if you guys have had a chance yet to go on the Facebook page. Had a great pleasure yesterday at the end of this conference. We baptized 250 people in the hotel pool. It's one of the most amazing things in my life. And I'm wondering this, even as I'm looking at all of you guys, I wonder how many of you don't have to put your hand up. How many of you have never been baptized? I mean, not sprinkled by your mom and dad in that good Lutheran service 60 years ago. Really submerged to what really meant something. And it was a fabulous time. We were gathered around the pool, a line of 250 people to get dunked. And then the rest, there's about 1,000 people there. The rest of the crowd circling around the pool, and they were screaming and hooting and hollering for these guys, and they came up out of the water. It was really, really, really pretty good experience. I came away from it really, really encouraged, and I was saying before we came on the air, sorry, I'm still a little bit hoarse, doing the best I can here today. Excuse me. I'm encouraged, and I'm discouraged, and I want to share some of that as we walk through it here today. And the event was so successful that they're going to do another one September 30th, October 1, October 2 in Knoxville, Tennessee. Love to see all you guys try to get down there. You know, again, I told you that it was kind of this Hear the Watchman conference that we spoke at in Dallas. It's a tinfoil hat in some way, in all fairness. And I had some friends come for the first time, had never been there. They came to help me at my table and different things like that. Or just come to be part of it. Flip Benham came and spoke, and I knew what they were getting into. They didn't know what they were getting into. And when they heard from L.A. Marzulli, oh my goodness, he spoke about what's really going on with drone technology in America, that this stuff's being militarized to the point that they're going to be able to, at some point, literally kill you from the sky. literally be able to do that. And all the things that are going, I mean, it blows you away. And Russ Dizdar spoke about MK Ultras and weaponized human beings. I mean, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But the fact that they're actually brainwashing these guys, these Jared Loughners, these random killers that go into movie theaters and shoot people. Many of them are MK Ultras, mind control. They're all across the nation. It's one of the great things that we have to be concerned about, all that's going on. We got some advice on tinfoil hat, money stuff, about how they're going to, as I've been trying to tell you guys, they're going to try to control us through the money and how that whole thing is being manipulated and what all's going on with there. And I'm just telling you, man, we had the most rocking. Flip Benham and I shared a segment at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Oh, my Lord. It was manly Christianity. Manly Christianity. I took about 45 minutes and smacked him right in the mouth. As those of you who've, you guys know I can smack him in the mouth, right? They'd never seen anything like it. And then Flip came on after, and Flip reeled him in. And the men who came forward for that altar call when Flip was done, man. When I was up there, Roger, I was speaking on Are You Converted? And some of you guys have heard that. And when I got started, I almost couldn't finish. I had this unbelievable urge to want to weep. And not just cry, belly weep. I almost couldn't shake it. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And Michelle and I got home pretty late last night, and as we were dozing off or getting ready to doze off, I said, I think I know what that was, honey. I believe the Holy Spirit is grieved at what's happened to men. And when I was up on that stage and I was looking out across the crowd, I saw the men. I saw in the eyes of the men as I was taking them to the woodshed how little they had become. And they knew it. And they didn't want to be that way. So many of them aren't even in church. They love the Lord, but they're not connected in church. And I don't care who you are. If you're not connected with some fellowship, you're out in the dry land, buddy. Out in that dry land. And I looked across that thing, and I'm telling you, fellas, as I'm speaking, there are guys in the audience that it's just a river. Just a river running out of their eyes. Sobbing and weeping. It broke my heart. It breaks my heart now. To think that we have, that our society and our culture and our churches have allowed this to happen to men. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. Well, Flip had an altar call at the end of that thing, and the men that came forward, I got to tell you, fellas, I smacked them hard about their phony Christianity and phony commitment to Christ and all that. They could have sucked on their thumb. They could have got mad. They didn't. They manned up. They manned up and they came forward. And then another amazing thing happened. If you could have been where I was. The men came forward. We just asked them to come forward. And they did. Flip led them in a powerful prayer of repentance. And, then when Flip was done, Flip said, are there some wives here? If your husband's up here, would you come? Wow. To watch the dynamic when those women came forward and how they snuggled up to their husbands, almost like getting under a bird's wing, you know? These women came up and they snuggled under their husband's arm, hugged on their husbands, and husbands and wives they're crying together. And to see why we're in the condition we're in. The men want so much to be men. And they don't even know what they're supposed to do. They don't even know what they're allowed to say. And they're sick and tired of what's going on. They quit going to church. They may get in the Bible, although probably not. Flip always Flip always really, really emphasizes that, the need to read, be in your Bible daily. And I think Roger would testify even right now from the, while we've been doing this show, just a little bit of getting in the Bible, just this little bit of getting in the Bible, what it does. And I have a list of, I don't even know how many names of men who actively want to get involved in the Salt and Light Brigade. They say, Coach, put us in the game. Put us in the game. We see what's going on. See, the guys are there. The guys who are at that conference, they all got tinfoil hats too. They see what's going on. And here's the problem. And again, Roger, I don't want to pick on you because I know you can relate to this. Dylan, I'm going to come to you in a second too. Roger, these guys, you cannot unsee what you've seen. You cannot unlearn what you've learned. You can't. And these guys have seen. And they've seen the stuff that the average guy never sees in the church because it's never brought up. They go to their pastor. Their pastor, if it's anything controversial at all, pastor doesn't want to talk about it. And these guys have seen it, and they cannot unsee it. And they're worried about their children and their grandchildren. They're not worried about themselves. They're worried about their children and their grandchildren and the future of this nation. And there is a wave of men out there that I believe the Lord's going to send us after. I just believe it in my heart. I talked about the Salt and Light Brigade and doing a boot camp. I'm going to have a boot camp scheduled down in Texas very, very soon. Got many, many names, many names. And they're going to come, and they want to become active, and they want to make a difference for the cause of Christ. But to back up just a little bit, my heart was broken. It was just broken for the condition of men. You ever been ashamed? I mean, that's a crazy question. We've all been. And I looked out across that room as I'm yelling at these guys, and I just saw shame. Shame they shouldn't be carrying. And see, we are all prisoners of our sphere of influence. We all are. And what we saw is a great, great, great failure of Christian leadership. And I'm not here to bash pastors, but if pastors would have been in that room with me, They would have seen. They would have seen the broken fruit in there. And the number of guys, I had a couple, oh my goodness, more than a couple, former pastors who are heartbroken that the call on their life was to be pastors. And they get caught in that denominational mess. And the hierarchy won't let them speak the truth, won't let them preach the truth. And my heart grieves. I'm telling you, fellas, I want to encourage you today. God's doing something. God's doing something. And Dylan, I say Dylan because he's Dylan's a 20-something, a young 20-something. Roger, Dylan, JR, I'm telling you, there were a lot of 20-something guys there. A lot of them. And those 20-something guys, after I got through speaking, they would come back to our table. We were doing the hat and the shirt thing, trying to whatever, and they'd come back there and they'd say, listen, I remember one guy said this, in fact, in the open mic, he grabbed an open mic before the whole crowd, and he said, listen, I just want to know the truth. That's all I want. I want to know the truth. Quit worrying about scaring me. Quit worrying about me losing my future. I want to know now the truth, because if hell's coming down on America, I want to be prepared. I want to know how to fight this thing. And everywhere I turn, ain't nothing but lies. This is a 25-year-old kid. He says, I'm telling you, I represent my entire generation. My generation, we just want to know the truth. Boy, my heart started pounding. Because we will not win this without the Dillons. We will not win we will not win it. If we do not, John F. Kennedy, funny I'm down there. I'm sorry, my brain's just going. John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address, which you all probably remember because of when he was killed, he certainly became an icon. But in his inaugural address, he said, the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century. Well, fellas, we have got to pass the torch to the next generation, and we have not done it. We have not. And we've got guys sitting in the pew. There were 1,000 people who came from all across America and paid $100 and $100 a night to be in the hotel and their food, and they bought books and hats and CDs. They are so hungry to be men, so hungry. They see what's coming and they want some help. What is it we're supposed to do? So of course, we talked about the prepping being your spiritual condition, the condition of your soul. That is first and foremost. All of them have to get their souls and I had a guy came up to me, Jesse. I don't know if Jesse's watching. And guys, listen to this, fellas. He came up to me, had tears in his eyes. He said to Coach, I'm a former cop, and I'm a former Marine, and I can't even count the number of people I killed. What am I supposed to do with that? Wow. How do you answer that? What do you say to some guy like that? What do you say? By the thousands they're out there, wounded men who've not been allowed to be men, wounded men who see what's going on, and they're looking for any. See, it goes back to, remember I was talking last week about the Trump phenomenon? I saw it, man. I saw it. They just want to be a man. They just want somebody to tell them it's okay to be a man. I said, listen, Christian testosterone's a good thing. It's a good thing. So I came away encouraged, not by what I heard, certainly, with the great speakers and all that. But we can't live in doom and gloom, boys. It is what it is. My football coaching taught me that. When you run in that locker room at halftime, that scoreboard says what it is. It tells you the real story. And so we can sit here and we can look at the scoreboard and say, man, oh, man, we are getting our donkeys kicked. But we got to go back. In fact, when I was at Otterbein College, we were playing Wittenberg. It was like 40-0 at halftime. I came from a pretty good high school program. I wasn't used to getting beat like that. My old football coach, old late Mo Agler, came in. He comes running in the locker room. We're all in there 40-0. And he comes walking in. He slams over that locker room door, and he runs in. You know what he says? Well, we got to go finish it. But man, oh, man. Is that ever it? And is that ever the way what we're trying to do? We got to finish it. We got to play. We got to play till the game's over. And we're running out the clock. We're just running out the clock. And those guys in that room, they didn't want to just run out the clock. And like Flip Benham says, yeah, we know we win in the end, but I want to win now. I want to do some winning now. And we're not doing any winning now because that attitude is nowhere in Christianity. It is nowhere. All we talk about victory in this. I got victory over this. I got victory over that. And it's all just fluff, just fluffy, fluffy victories. The devil's kicking our ass. Pardon me. My wife said I could say that. And we don't have any clue. Now, those guys in that room have a clue. The devil's eating our lunch. And we're being told it's okay. It's just going to happen at the end. The closer we get to the end, the more he's going to eat your lunch. Just smile, because Jesus is coming. And if you have any heart at all, baby, I don't that don't work very good. Excuse me. I wish I had a cough button. I don't. So I'm more inspired than I've ever been. That's probably hard to believe. But I'm brothers, I'm telling you, man, there's something going on. And if we don't get a righteous hold of it, it ain't going to look very righteous. You know what I'm talking about, right? The only answer is Christ. It's the only answer we have. We all sing it. We all sing that song. But there ain't a 1 in 10 of us that do a damn thing about it. People don't share the gospel. Can't even share the gospel. They don't even know what it is. They don't even know what's going on. Flip had a show of hands. 1,000 people in the room. How many are in your Bible daily? 1,000 people in the room, maybe 20. And they're probably lying. All they're getting is the fluff they get it at all. the fluff that they get on Sunday morning from church. That's why these guys are flocked to guys like Pastor David Lankford, and now they'll be flocked to guys like Flip Benham, to guys like Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, who give them some grit they can chew on, some stuff they can put in their mouth that they have to grind their teeth in order to chew it up. They want that. They don't want the yogurt anymore. Excuse me. So I'm encouraged because I believe the Lord's going to help us help awaken that manly spirit here in America. I got my Bible open to Joel 2. Anybody want to say, morning, Larry. Anybody want to say anything, just wave your hand. I'm going to come to you here in a second. God, we've been at it 20 minutes already. Man, oh, man. Here's what I say. I'm in Joel chapter 2. Just think this is significant. I came down here to my studio this morning, and the Lord put me in Joel. That's where I popped it open. The Lord put me in Joel. I didn't really know why, but I want to encourage you. I just want to, hey, boys, all hell's about to break loose. It is. That's what the conference was about. All hell's about to break loose. And I said, okay, man, again, football experience. All hell's about to break loose. We got to play these guys. We got to play the devil's team. I'm here. I'm in this earth suit. I got to play. And we can't come here and get all of this scouting report on what the enemy's doing and how he's operating, get all that scouting report, and then just sit paralyzed in our houses and paralyzed in our churches. We used to get a scouting report of our opponents in football, and the purpose of this scouting report was to figure out how to advance the ball, how to shut them down, how to score. And we've got the greatest scouting report ever, ever, ever. But it paralyzes us. It paralyzes us. Say, here's where here's where the devil's working, and here's where he's working, and here's how he's doing it. They're using drones, and they're using mind control, and they're using media. Oh, my goodness. John Robertson did a teaching on Hollywood and the signs and the signals in Hollywood, stuff that's going on behind the scenes and the programming and how they're programming our children and Disney and what Disney's doing to our kids and the commercials and all of it. We know it now. What is our solution? That's where we have to move to. That's what people want more than anything. They want a solution. So here, I get encouraged, man. I get encouraged. Hey, the end's coming. It's coming for all of us. All you guys watching here, the end's coming, baby. For sure. I'm talking about your end. I'm 63. Said last week, my new grandson graduates from high school. I'm going to be 81. How quick's that happen? Hey, Roger, how quick was Dylan into high school and out? 18 years, man. I got, if I'm lucky, 18 years. And I'll be dadgum. I think maybe Andy Griffith used that one. I'll be dadgum if I'm going to spend the last 5 years of my life laying in some freaking nursing home with somebody changing my bedpan. We have an opportunity now to, as Flip, my buddy Flip Benham says, die valiantly. Die valiantly. You're going to die. Let's die valiantly. Doing what really, really matters for the cause of Christ. Let's die valiantly so that our children and our grandchildren look at us and they will tell tales about what it was that we did. My dad did this and my grandpa did this and he did this and he did this. I want to share this before I get into Joel. Quick story. I got arrested back in 2005, I believe it was, for trying to take water to Terri Schiavo. Terri Schiavo was, you guys know who she was, the girl they starved to death down in Pinellas County, Florida, when Jeb Bush was governor of California, or I'm sorry, of Florida. Jeb Bush was governor. And I said at the time, if Jeb Bush saved Terri Schiavo, they'd name schools after him. He'd be president of the United States. Had he saved Terri Schiavo, but he didn't do it. And I made the decision with some others I was going to try to take her water. People call it a publicity stunt. Well, call it whatever the hell you want to. You sit home on your ass. I'm going to try to go down there and do something about it. I used that word again. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. So I go down there, and I know I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to try to take this dying woman water. First of all, place is surrounded by cops, helicopters, snipers on the roof. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Snipers on the roof protecting her death. So I know I'm going to get arrested. And as before, we had these what they call smartphones. It was just kind of a cell phone. You remember when we used to have cell phones? Now we have computers. We call them phones. Like, remember dialing my phone. I called my wife. And I said, "Hey, listen, Michelle, I'm about to get arrested. I just want you to know it. That when it hits the, you know, hits the media, if it hits the media, it will in Columbus. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what it's about. I'm going to be fine. I don't know how long I'll be in there. We've got some people here on the outside that are going to, they'll bail us out, whatever, whenever we get to. But I just don't want anybody to be surprised by it. Everything's cool. I'm fine." So let everybody else know that you can, so that they're not shocked. You know, they're not driving down the car and they hear that Uncle Dave's in jail. So, you know, they got the, she called everybody, let them know. My daughter, Abby, the one who did live here, is now moved out. She tells a story that that same time, her Hillsdale College, I got them on this morning, her Hillsdale College softball team was playing softball down in Fort Lauderdale, same time I'm in Pinellas County. And mom calls her, her mother calls her. She has her own cell phone. She's in the van with the girls on the way to the ball game. And the phone rings, and Michelle tells Abby her dad's about ready to go to jail and not to worry about it. Everything's okay. Play your game and that, whatever mom would say. And Abby hung up the phone. She started to cry. Not cry, but cry, you know, cry. And all the girls gather around her. "Oh, Abby, what's the matter?" And Abby, through sobs, says, my dad just got arrested." Now, Abby's in the car with these Hillsdale College girls. I don't know if you know anything about Hillsdale, but it's pretty highfalutin, you know. Conservative, but highfalutin. And you know what they do? They all begin to pat her on the back. "Oh, Abby, I'm so sad. Sorry for you. Oh, Abby, we're here for you." And Abby said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. "I'm crying because I'm so proud of my dad." Isn't that something? Proud of her dad. When they stick me in that box, Abby's going to remember that moment. When they stick me in that box, that memory of my bravery, supposed bravery, is going to live long, on long, inside the hearts of my children. And the hearts of those who saw that act of bravery happen. Although it wasn't an act of bravery, it was an act of bravery to those who would never imagine doing that. When Jesus told himself, "Lay down your life, man. Lay down your life. Give your life for your friends. Rescue those who are unjustly led to slaughter." If you receive Christ, you're a dead man. Why are you so worried about you? I'm going to come to you in just a second. I want to show you this. Oh, there's a lot of places that you could read. But I'm in Joel chapter 2, verse 15. It says this. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, and thy heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Where is their God?" That's what everybody's saying today. Where is he? "Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied with, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations." I believe God is going to do something miraculous through his real, true body of believers. Not that brick church down your street. Not that brand new steel building that congregation is, but that's not what we're talking about, man. That is not what we're talking about. God has got a group of underground people all across this nation that he is about to do an unbelievable thing. In verse 25 of Joel 2, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and a great army I will send among you. Verse 27, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. There's something big getting ready to happen. And it says in Joel that in the last days, if we're in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit. There's going to be a revival. It's going to be a revival. It's coming, man. I'm telling you, it's coming. Oh, it looks bad. It looks bad all around us. God's waking up some folk. And as I said to those guys on Saturday, here's where you are. Hey, Roger, here's where you are. JR, Larry, and Matt. You can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unsee it. It's like when we take those abortion pictures out, and we put them out on the street, hold those signs up, and people come by and they want to cover their eyes. It doesn't matter. Because once they see it, you can't unsee it. And that's where you are. And some of you are just are more recently having an awakening, and your eyes are beginning to open up. And as I said to the people in that room on Saturday, count yourself blessed if your eyes are being opened. Count yourself blessed because ain't everybody seeing it. And if the Lord has allowed your eyes to be opened, ask yourself this. Why? Why? It says right here, if I can find it. I'm not going to look through it long. It says that the Lord doesn't do anything. The Lord doesn't do anything until he first tells his prophets. But see, they'll tell you in the church, well, the spirit of prophecy's died. God doesn't have any modern-day prophets. It's called the spirit of prophecy. The idea not to be a fortune teller. The spirit of prophecy is this, that you see what's going on and you see beyond what's going on. You see where this is headed. That's what a prophet does. The prophet doesn't foretell the future. He simply has a scouting report that's been given to him by the Lord that he says, okay, here's what they're going to do. Get ready. Here's what we need to do. And so we have a total, complete misunderstanding of what prophecy is and what a prophet is. A prophet is one who speaks in place of God. That's what a prophet does. Thus say the Lord. It's what a prophet does. And praise the Lord, there are a lot of them out there. But the modern church doesn't want to hear him. They don't want to hear any prophets. They want to hear the prophits, the prophets. They want to hear the bank prophets. They don't want to hear God's prophets. And yeah, I'm a prophet. I'm speaking forth the oracles of God. I don't want you to call me, well, there's Prophet Dave Dobbs. Everybody's got to have a title. Not a prophet. I'm not a title. Fivefold ministry, some apostles, what? Prophets? Who are the prophets? Funny, watch this. I'll come back to it. Gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's one gift, by the way. And prophets, the finger pointer. To think that the body of Christ can operate, the church can operate without a finger pointer. Hey, boy, let me tell you something. And this is a prophet's job to direct and correct, to speak the oracles of God to direct and correct. And the fact that he's given some of you, are you ready? The gift of prophecy, not to be a fortune teller, but to be able to sit in an environment and say, whoa, I got some bells going off here. That's not what's really going on. Let me tell you something. And to get a meeting with somebody and walk into your elders and your pastors and say to them, pardon me, listen, I don't want to be rude and I don't want to scare you, but I'm telling you, I see this going on and this is going to get us, boys. If we don't get this cleaned up, it's going to get us. That's what a prophet does. some prophets right here on this, right here in front of me. There's some prophets. But they're, you're being told in the church you're not allowed to do that. Are you? You're not one of the elder boards, right? You're not on the elder board. How do you know? Huh? Well, our pastor doesn't see things that way. How do you know? Well, how about old John the Baptist? They didn't like him very well. How about the weeping prophet, Jeremiah? Never got one convert. Not one. He kept telling it. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Tell my people. Hath not God said? Huh? We need that, fellas. We need that spirit of prophecy. We need the prophets in the land. And here's what I want you to understand, as I told the people down there on Saturday. If the Lord has given you that gift, buddy, you better use it. You better use it. Because the purpose of your tongue is to warn. Warn the flock. Hey, you ever been a parent? You warn your kids and you don't listen? You can't measure your effectiveness on whether they listen or not. I can tell you some stories. I lost more than one job because I will try to warn them. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted to hear how good everything was and how happy the Lord was and how everything's going good. And I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, that's okay. But, oh, my goodness, look out. It's right about here that they fake that off-tackle run. They throw that deep bomb, and they're going to throw that deep bomb. We better get a guy deep. And say, well, we'll take it to the elder board. Somebody say amen. Understand what I'm talking about? So those of you who are tuning in and listening right now, in fact, you're even listening tells me that there's a spirit of prophecy on you. And again, not future telling. Prophet in the sense that you see where this thing's going. You have a sense about it. You know it. You walk into your church and you know others aren't seeing it. You're seeing it and others aren't. And we're told right there to warn them. Warn them. Warn them. Nobody likes to be warned. Hey, anybody want to jump in there? Oh, that's a long time. Got a couple. I'm getting Larry in there, Jared, if you can.
Yeah, I know of what you speak. Many decades ago, when it was first revealed to me that I was to walk in the office of a prophet, and the person that revealed it said, I've never had this given to me before. It says, but Your office is to reprove and correct the church.
Speak for God, right? Give warning.
Yeah, and you know, me being a fairly, at that time, fairly new convert, I said, wow, boy, this is cool. I'm going to get to go in these big churches and set them straight. And it didn't take long to figure out that isn't the way it happens. That's not going to happen.
You can't set them straight, Larry, because they don't know they're crooked. that's the problem. They think they're okay.
Well, I found out that what my mission as a prophet is to be led by the Spirit across those few individuals out there who the Spirit's been preparing their mind and their heart to receive the real truth of what the Word of God says. And one by one, a couple by a couple, or you know, whatever, whoever the Spirit leads me to, just piece by piece, the body of Christ is coming into the knowledge of what the Word says instead of what they've been told it means.
Amen, Larry. You know, Rush Limbaugh wrote a book about 20 years ago now, maybe longer. And he said the title of his book was See, I Told You So. You guys remember that? That's a prophet. That's a prophet. And see, the thing is, I don't take any satisfaction. And after some crap hits the fan to say, see, I told you so. No joy in that. Jesus himself said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you like a chick hen gathers her eggs, but you would not, and you have killed the prophets. And when you kill the prophets, you kill the correction and the direction of Almighty God to a body of believers. JR, you've walked in that prophetic anointing. Go ahead, weave your up.
Oh, I think two things real quick. One is, when you look at the fivefold ministry and you look at the church, there is no teaching on what is throughout the Bible as far as anybody having any prophetic discernment, that's just shut down into a closet, man. You bring that up and you're crazy.
Amen.
But yet, what an important part of God's word over time, of the individuals that were able to detect or see some things that others could not, how important that was, how it spared life, how it protected the people. But yet, in our culture today, in the church today, if you bring forth that concept, the first thing they will go to is, well, if you're not true, we're going to stone you. Or, if who do you think you are? That's awful prideful.
Yep.
And it's just very interesting. You know, the other thing you were talking about as far as the conference, one of the things I try to teach the young guys I teach on Sunday is, it is okay as a man to raise your hand up and say, I can do that.
Amen.
We have been programmed that that is not humble, that right. is prideful. Nobody ever stands up anymore and says, you know, I'm good at that. I can do that.
Now, Amen.
It's also good to say, you know, if you want somebody to pack your van and move, I'm not your guy because I'll screw right. it up.
There you go,
but,
baby.
But the men are not taught to stand up and say, I can do that.
Just as bad, Roger. They don't even know what their gift is. They don't even know what they can do. Especially when it comes to religious things, religious, whatever that means. They don't even know what their gift is. They don't feel. I brought a guy. I see Larry wants to jump in here again. I brought a guy up on Saturday, and I was talking about going to the streets and going out in the streets and make a difference. I says, here's the problem. A lot of you guys don't want to go because you don't know what to do, and you don't know if you're going to be successful. And I brought a guy up, and I said, hey, can you do this? And I made him stand up in front of everybody, and I made him fold his arms. Can you do this? And he did it. I said, man, I need you. You just come and do that. You just stand behind me and let me roar. And you just stand like that. And you'll be surprised what will happen. You know what happens? You stand like that, you hear a lion roar, and the next thing you know, it's coming out of your mouth. Because there's something inside of you. The Lord's given you something inside of you. And I'll never forget again what my friend Flip Benham said. Aren't there butterflies in your stomach? Are you kidding me? Huh? Are you kidding me? Butterflies? Feel like I'm going to wet my pants. And Flip said, you can't stop the butterflies, but you can make them fly in formation. And that's what we have to begin to do. Make that nervousness and those butterflies go in the right direction and use it to propel you, not to hold you back, because the Lord has something he wants to say through you, and you have a responsibility to say it. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just following up on I think it was Roger. I'm not sure. I'm not real good with names and putting them together.
Okay. That's all right, buddy.
But, he was talking about the fivefold ministry and stuff, and I've had a lot of opportunity over the years to have some conversations with the preachers and stuff and a lot of churches. And when they tell me that the fivefold ministry is dead and that was a thing of the first century church and when the last apostle died and all that was over, I tell them, oh, but don't you have a Bible? And of course I have a Bible. And I'll take them to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, you all guys know this, but there's somebody that needs to hear it because the Spirit prompted me to share this.
Amen. Share it, brother.
Ephesians 11, it says, and he himself, talking about Jesus.
Hang on a minute. Larry, let us catch up here a minute.
Okay, we're in Ephesians 4:11.
I'm sorry we're not in the church yet. Where we just put it up on a screen and you don't ever have to open your Bible. Hang on a second. Hebrews where, Larry?
4:11.
4:11.
No, not Hebrews, Ephesians.
I'm sorry, Ephesians. Yeah. Hey, fellas, do you know how to turn your Bible to the right side? Now to find Ephesians, it might be a little glossary up in the front. You may have to go there. It might be okay. Eventually, you'll figure out where it is. Ephesians 4, go ahead, Larry, 11.
11, yeah. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For, now the for this fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints.
Wow.
Now, all these apostles, prophets, and everything, their ministry is not to go out, and Jeremiah never got one convert. But that's not the fivefold ministry's.
That's not it, man.
The fivefold ministry's purpose is to equip the saints to go do the going out.
Pretty simple to me.
The first word of verse 13 is key. Till. So that fivefold ministry, Jesus put it in place until what? Until we all come to the unity of the faith.
And we ain't there yet.
Pastor, I says, is our faith unified? Are the body of Christ, are we really total? Are we unified? Are we together the way we're supposed to be? And they say no. And I say, well, is the fivefold ministry dead then? Because we're not there yet. And Jesus put it in place until we get there.
Well, Larry, I got to figure it out. You're just a troublemaker.
Been told that.
Nobody else sees it, Larry. You're the only one complaining, Larry. And Larry, maybe you just need to get home, brother, and get before the Lord, and maybe he'll get your mind right, not realizing that the Lord has helped you to see something that you can't unsee. JR, you've been fighting this for how long? Hang on, JR.
16+ years, brother. 16+ years.
And not only that, you ran from it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You ran from it because you listen to all those who say you're a troublemaker and you're sowing discord, and why can't you just sit there, and why can't we all get along, and why do you always have to complain, and why do you always see the negative side of it, JR? Why can't you just come in and just enjoy the Lord and just enjoy the music and let the Lord speak to your heart? Because, brother, you cannot unsee what you've seen. The British are coming. And the Lord is impressed upon you. Tell them. Go tell them for me, will you? And that spirit's not welcome. It's not welcome. Not welcome in the church. So I want to try to encourage all of you, trying to encourage every heart on here, that if you're here, you might be wearing that hat. You might be. You might be the guy. Wait a minute. Go to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Oh, my goodness. It's 7:45. Hey, fellas, I want you to know this. I don't know if I've said this yet. You turn to Matthew chapter 5. They're watching this show. At the event in Dallas, they hear the Watchman Conference. I'm telling you. They're watching this show. They told me. So I don't know what's going on. YouTube says 150 people are watching. I heard from 150 on Saturday alone. They're not watching it live. Another thing, Jared, we were talking about media. Hagman & Hagman, which has the largest internet radio program in the world. Hagman & Hagman. Staggering. Said that 95% of their viewers don't watch it live. They download the podcast and listen to it later. 95%. So what people are doing is they are programming their day. See, if you want to listen to Rush Limbaugh, noon to 3, you got to catch him. Now, you can be a Rush 24 and you can pay him $100 a year and you can listen to it anytime. Or you can go to Coach Dave Live and you can be driving home from school or work or wherever you might be and thinking, you know, I'm going to go work out a little bit. I'm going to download Coach's podcast today. I'm going to listen to that thing. 95% of Hagman & Hagman are downloaded podcasts. They're not listening live. So remember this. We're having an impact. And Larry and JR and Matt and all you guys there, they're hearing us around the world. You have an unction. You have a prophetic unction. Again, not a tell the future, but a thus saith the Lord. And you need to walk in that. Did I tell you go to Matthew chapter 5 real quick? Because this is oh, Lord, I was telling you guys and I didn't do it. Matthew, I got, oh, my Bible. I guess. Matthew chapter 5. It's Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to read down through all of it, but it's, I want you to see it. King James, you don't have the King James, may be a little bit different. Verse says, verse 3, starting at verse 3. By the way, I like this. Verse 2 says that he opened his mouth and he taught them. That's what some of us need to do. We need to open our mouth and teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We know about that. Blessed are they that mourn, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, 7. Blessed are the merciful, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted, verse 11. Blessed are you. Do you see the pronoun change, at least in the King James, where it went from they, you. They, you. I could get a chant going. They, you. Blessed are they, blessed are they. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. Isn't that cool? Huh? You want to be blessed? Get persecuted. How are you going to get persecuted? Tell them the truth. They don't want to hear it. Be a little salt shaker. Be a big salt shaker. Don't be this little light of mine. Be a big light. Be a big floodlight. Speak the truth. What's the promise? You're going to be hated of all men. In fact, Jesus said, you know why you're going to be hated? Because they hated me first. I don't know which where it is. It's the truth. It's like your kid. Try to correct your kid. How many times you try to correct your kid, they accuse you of being mean. Or, you're not fair. Nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody does. Especially leaders. Clinton's had a hate list. Obama's got a hate list. Who's on that hate list? People who try to correct him. We don't like to be corrected. But boys, if you're watching this show, you got that spirit on you. You got that spirit on you. What do you think, JR? Hang on. You're still not. Either Jared, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Doug.
There you go.
On the screen. That's very helpful. I don't know whether you guys noticed or not, but Doug put the verses up.
Oh, on the side there. Through. Yeah, thanks, Doug. Yep.
One thing you said, Coach, which really, really, really speaks to my heart, you talked about flying in formation. And we all have the spirit. We need to fly in formation, fly together.
Yes, sir.
You know that speaks to my heart. By the way, I talked to Randy. Randy works during this time period, Coach, so it's very difficult for him to catch the program.
Okay.
You want to relay that message to you.
Okay.
And guys, it starts with us. We've got to drop our pride. We've got to start doing things together. It could be small things. We could do a one-day fast. Or we had our call last night, the Minutemen United call, and I want everybody on that call to go to Rancher Lives Matter. That's one thing. That's only one thing that I'm asking, a small thing. Now, do you think everybody's going to do that, Coach?
No.
Yeah. I mean, come on. How do we expect to win if we don't fly in formation?
Right. That's right.
We're all waiting for the right moment, waiting for that epiphany. So it fits into our particular pride. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Scripture tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. And the word vision, if you look that up in the Greek, someone once told me, I didn't do it. It's a picture of a wild stallion. It's a picture of a horse running wild and free in a field. Perish. Doesn't mean to die. Where there is no perish, or where there is no vision, the people just run around like a wild horse. Run here, and they run there, and they run there, and run there. Sure looks like they're getting a lot of stuff done, but they're not getting anything accomplished. So it takes vision so we're focused and know where we're moving. I think I said this. I got to go back to Texas. I get those men down there begging, look, coach, please come back. Do a training for us. Do a training for us. We got to make that happen here. We have to make that happen here. We got to quit playing tiddlywinks. We see what's going on. Pardon my French. The hell are we doing sitting on our butts? If this is going on, fellas, right now, we know it. We know it. But instead of blowing the horn, we've put the horn in the closet. And understand this. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the overcoming of fear. If you're not afraid, it don't take courage. It takes courage when you're afraid. And Joshua, can we go there real quick? Sure we can. Real quick. That's Old Testament. I still think it applies. God, it's 7:54. That's all right. We keep you a little hungry for tomorrow, don't we? Stuff's either true or it's not. And as I said the other day, we got to quit reading the Bible as stories and start reading it as principles. Applicable principles. That what happened to Moses applies to you. Same principle applies. Moses screws up doing something wrong, hitting the rock rather than speaking to the rock. That same principle applies to you. It's just not a story about Moses. So we're in Joshua, real quickly here, Joshua 1. Now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, his minister, saying, Moses is dead, boys. John the Baptist is dead, boys. They're dead. It's your turn now. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all the people unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. And every place that you put your feet, the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now, don't miss this next. Verse 5. The principle we apply, the principle. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, there's that principle, so will I be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. That's the word of God, baby. But, look at this. Be strong. Huh? Is that what it says? Be of good courage. For unto this people shall I divide for inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. But verse 7, only, be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Don't turn to verse 8, this mouth of the law shall not depart out of that mouth. You meditate on it therein night and day, and day and night, that you may observe all according that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? He just upped the ante. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and very courageous and be not afraid and be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. There's a principle to end on, boys. We think God's about that big. We think his promises, if he ever kept them, they were for old, long ago. They're not important anymore. Look at that. Doug's joined us today, by the way, fellas. Didn't get a chance to tell you this. Doug's joined us all the way from Utah this morning. He's in the queue here. And he put up there, Joshua. There he is. There's old Doug, an old veteran. Up at what time is it out there, Doug? Hang on, Mace. I can't hear you. You got him, Jared? Doug, we're not hearing you for whatever reason. We're not hearing you. But
he's unmuted, but we can't hear him.
For whatever reason, we're not hearing you. But all these guys down here at the bottom, you see him, Doug. We're glad to have you there with Lavoie Finicum over your shoulder. We stand with you. How about that? All the way from Utah, we got them with us this morning. So, guys, What's the moral of the story here? You have an obligation to speak the truth. You're going to piss people off when you do it, but be strong and be courageous. Be not afraid. The Lord's with you everywhere you go. And if you're obedient to do what he tells you to do, you're going to have every place you set your foot. He's going to give it to us in an inheritance. That makes me want to yell amen. I don't know about you guys. Huh? What's wrong with us? Let's get in the game. Lord, just be with us this week. Help us to take this word that you've given to us, Lord. Plant it in our hearts and let it bear much fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen. See you tomorrow.